Our Bible reading comes from 1 Timothy chapter 3. Jonathan will bring it to us, and then Bruce will bring us the message.
1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1 to 7. Here is a trustworthy saying. If anyone sets his heart on being an overseer, he desires a noble task. Now the overseer must be above reproach, the husband of but one wife, temperate, self-controlled, respectable, hospitable, able to teach, not given to drunkenness, not violent but gentle, not quarrelsome, not a lover of money. He must manage his own family well and see that his children obey him with proper respect. If he does not know how to manage his own family, how can he take care of God's church? He must not be a recent convert, or he may become conceited and fall under the same judgment as the devil. He must also have a good reputation with outsiders, so that he will not fall into disgrace and into the devil's trap. Thank you, Bruce.
My subject today is leadership. As we'll be electing new leaders on the 26th of October, I thought it would be a good opportunity to preach about leadership. Back in 1914, 28 men set out from England to explore the Antarctic. Not far from the Antarctic continent, the ship was caught in the crushing Antarctic ice in the Weddell Sea, only one day's sail from land. The ice just closed in on the ship. Even though they gunned the engines as fast and hard as they could, it just didn't move. They were stranded, 1,200 miles from civilization, with no means of communication, no mobile phones back in 1914, and no hope of rescue, no helicopters to fly in and rescue them. The temperature was extremely low. The men could actually hear the water freezing. During the time that they were trapped on the ice, they ate penguins, seals, and the dogs that they brought with them from England. Then, to make matters worse, after being caught in the ice for 9 months, the ice began to pack hard onto the ship, and eventually the ice actually crushed the ship and it sank. The men were then left with only three small boats about the same size as a lifeboat. And they were left in the middle of a frozen land, a frozen wasteland. They were stranded on a vast, unstable layer of ice, and the temperature was minus 16 degrees Fahrenheit. They were on the ice for 5 months, eating seals and penguins. I guess by then the dogs would have been all eaten. Eventually the ice melted, and the men launched the boats. It was April 1916. They'd left England in 1914. And then they sought to reach civilization 1,200 miles away where the whalers were working. However, they were not able to sail the boats to that island. They were only able to sail about 100 or more miles to a deserted island. Most of the men stayed on that deserted island, and only a small number of men then went in one boat, sailed across 1,800 miles of the southern Atlantic Ocean to a whaling station. They couldn't sail directly to the whaling station because it was on the other side of the island, and it was too rough. Conditions were too rough to sail around the island, so they had landed on one side of the island and then they had to go across a mountain to the other side to get to the whaling station. It's one of the greatest stories of men being saved. Question. What saved the men? What do you think saved the men? It was Shackleton. He was the leader of the group. Because of his great leadership, he saved every one of those men, 27 men he saved. Didn't lose one. John Maxwell has made the comment, he's a preacher in the States, he's made the comment that everything rises and falls on leadership. Leadership has a tremendous impact upon our life. Godly leadership produces a healthy church. Good leadership produces a healthy work atmosphere. Leadership affects our home, our church, our work, the schools, the hospitals, the clubs, wherever people gather. Leadership affects us. Parents are leaders in their own home. Whether you're a leader in your own home or at work, you will be affected. Even though you may not be a leader, you will be affected by good or bad leadership wherever you are. What makes a godly leader? The greatest leader of all time, of course, is Jesus. Jesus began his ministry initially doing it all himself. He preached, he went to the to Capernaum, and when the Sabbath came, Jesus went into the synagogue and began to teach. Jesus drove out evil spirits. Jesus healed people. He did a tremendous amount of ministry on his own to start with. But then he realised that he couldn't do all the work himself. He needed to multiply his ministry. He needed to bring in others to help him. He also knew that death wasn't far away. Once when he healed someone, the Pharisees went out and began to plot with the Herodians as to how they might kill Jesus. So Jesus knew that his time was short. He knew he had to multiply his ministry. And so one night he went up onto the mountainside to pray and spent the night praying to God. When morning came, he called his disciples to him and chose 12 of them, whom he also designated apostles. Jesus put together a leadership team, a team whom he'd pour himself into in order to, so that his ministry would continue after he died. He was going to teach them how to heal people. He was going to teach them how to drive out evil spirits. He was going to teach them how to preach and teach. And so from then on, Jesus spent as much time as he could training people and training these disciples so that they in turn will be able to carry on the ministry after he left. What makes up a leadership team? Who are suitable to be part of a leadership team? As we had that passage of scripture just read to us, here's a trustworthy saying: if anyone sets his heart on being a Christian leader or an overseer, he desires a noble task. He must be above reproach, the husband of but one wife, temperate, etc. Brenda Bell are in the process of choosing leaders. What should you look for as you seek to nominate people to the various positions to do a particular task? There are three things that we should look for when we're looking to nominate people. One is character, godly character. The second is competence. And the third is chemistry. I'll explain chemistry when I get to it. Godly character. We see from this passage that when we choose people to do this task, to be in ministry, they need to have a godly character. As it says in chapter 3 of 1 Timothy, they need not to be given to drunkenness, not violent, but gentle, not quarrelsome, not a lover of money, and so on. You know, sometimes we choose people for these various jobs because we think that they'll change, that their character will change when they get the job. That's not so. People's characters don't change overnight. They're transformed over a period of time. And so when we choose people for particular tasks, we need to know that they are the right person. They do have good character. The second thing that is needed in a leadership team is competence. People need to be able to do the job. It's no good choosing a person to be on the preaching team if they can't preach, or to be on the music team if they can't sing or play an instrument. Whatever ministry team we choose people for, they need to be competent in the job, need to be able to do the job. They need to have the spiritual gift that God has given to them. As it says in Romans 12, we have different gifts according to the grace given us. If a man's gift is prophesying, let him use it in proportion to his faith. If it is serving, let him serve. If it is teaching, let him teach. If you're looking for someone to do a particular ministry on the ministry team, then they need to have the spiritual gift given to them by God to do that particular task. Let me share with you a story about some animals which may help to explain this. Once upon a time, right after creation, all the animals got together and formed a school. They established a well-rounded curriculum of swimming, running, climbing, and flying. All the animals were required to take all the courses. The ducks excelled in swimming. In fact, he was better than the instructor. But he only made passing grades in climbing and was poor in running. He was so slow that he had to stay after school to practice running. This caused his web feet to become so badly worn he became only average in swimming. But average was quite acceptable, so no one worried about it, except the duck. The rabbit was at the top of all her class in running, but after a while she developed a twitch in her leg from all the time she spent in the water trying to improve her swimming. The squirrel was a peak performer in climbing, but was constantly frustrated in flying classes. His bigotic body became so worn from all the hard landings. He did not do so too well in climbing and ended up being pretty poor in running. The eagle was a continual problem student. She was constantly disciplined for being a non-conformist. In climbing class, she would always beat everyone to the top of the tree, but insisted on using her own way to get there. Each of the animals has a particular design. When they did what they were designed to do, they excelled. When they tried to operate outside their area of expertise, they were not nearly as effective. Can ducks run? Sure. Is that what they are best doing? No. It's observed sometimes that the church is sometimes full, some churches are full of running ducks. People are running hard, doing their best, waddling for Jesus, but they're very tired, frustrated, burnt out, because they're working outside the area of gifting that they have. God's given us spiritual gifts to use. And so when we choose people to join a leadership team, then they need to have the competence to do that. Thirdly, the third thing we need is chemistry. Chemistry refers to ability to get on with people, to be a team person. Leadership team needs to be a group of people who love each other and care for each other. And there are many Christians who are able to work in a team, but there are some Christians who can't work in a team. They're not team players, and they cause a lot of disagreement in the team if you elect them to the team. This is just happens. And so you need to elect people who can work in a team and not people who will disrupt the team. You know, Jesus said, "A new command I give you to you, love one another as I have loved you, so you must love one another." And then that passage from 1 Corinthians chapter 12 talks about the body. The body is a unit. Now, the body is not made up of one part, but of many. If the foot should say, "Because I'm not a hand, I do not belong to the body," it would not for that reason cease to be part of the body. And if the ear should say, "Because I'm not an ear, I do not belong to the body." And if the ear should say, "Because I'm not an eye, I do not belong to the body," it would not for that reason cease to be part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has arranged the parts of the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. And so what it's talking about here is that we all have different spiritual gifts, each and every one of us. And so as we work together, using our gifts, we're able to build the body of Christ and to build the church. And so the leadership team needs to have a diverse group of people with different spiritual gifts so that they complement each other. And so a leadership team, in order to operate, needs to be one which has people who have a godly character. That's number one. Needs to be competent. People need to be able to use their gifts and be competent in their spiritual gifts. Three, they need to be able to work in a team. You know, one of the great leaders in the Old Testament is Nehemiah. Nehemiah's character was he was a man of prayer. When a problem was presented to him, he prayed about it straight away. He showed courage in the face of danger. He wasn't frightened. He said at one stage, "Should a man like me run away?" He had a genuine concern for the welfare of others, and he was honest. He was competent. Nehemiah was competent. He was able to make clear decisions, had goals, and knew where he was going. He was able to build the wall. Chemistry. He was able to work with people. He raised the morale of the people. He built up their faith by directing them away from the impossible situation to the greatness of God. He got the people to work together as a team. Leadership affects every one of us. Either you're in leadership or you're working for a leader. All the leadership positions in Bindabella are now vacant. I'd encourage you to vote for godly leaders who are competent and who can work in the team. John Maxwell makes the comment, "Everything rises and falls on leadership." Leadership is extremely important. And let's come before God in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you, Jesus, that you are a leader. You guide and direct us. You never leave us alone. You care for us. And you provide for us. And we thank you, gracious Father, for the way that you work in this church. And we pray for the next group of leaders for this church that you'll guide and direct, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.